Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verse 2, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." So I've got a question. Exactly what is the job of a wise man? And if you want to give the answer that loops around, you'll say, "Why, being wise." But to get there, you have to do a lot of studying and figuring things out. And then in the ancient world, the wise men were those who had special training. In our days, we would call it something of the ivory tower experience. Learning how things are and how they should be. I got a little taste of that my senior year in high school. The course was called Development of Western Thought. And for 2 hours every day of the school week, 2 hours we debated and pondered things like, how do you know? How do you know that you know what you know? Things like that. What makes a thing what it is? What is the essence of? It was fascinating. It was almost intoxicating. Because you see, in the ancient world, when wise men were educated and trained in the deep things of thought and learning, then they could be put to work sorting out how a nation, how a government, how society, how families were supposed to be arranged. They were the ones who could tell other people how to live their lives. And if that's not intoxicating, In Greece it was Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, and others. In China, you know the name, Confucius. And there were others. For a brief time in Babylon, which is off in the east where the wise men are coming from, it was Daniel. And there's a fascinating contrast between those in the ivory towers thinking they actually are able to arrange other people's lives and a God, the one true God, who could have simply dictated from heaven, but what he does is actually completely the opposite. And what happens is that God grabs a hold of those wise men, stops them with all of their learning, stops them in their wise men tracks, and calls them to come to Bethlehem. They end up taking a year or more out of their lives to get together a company of wise men, soldiers, camels, provisions, and travel to a distant country, there to kneel before an infant, worship him, give him gifts, and then sneak away, going back home by a different route. So how's this happen? Well, they had not only seen the star, they'd apparently read the book. Numbers 24:7. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And then there are the other prophecies. To Abraham, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Or Isaiah 60, nations will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your rising. A multitude of camels, and they shall bring gold and frankincense. And Isaiah 49, I will also make you a light to the nations, This is wisdom, to notice these things and come. But they were apparently missing the part about Bethlehem. That's from the prophet Micah chapter 5. So they ask, and wise men are not always wise. So we can ask if they let it slip. If they let it slip to hear this part also. In Numbers 24. This part about crush the forehead of Moab, and Edom shall be dispossessed, and Haran was an Idumean and was not going to stand for being dispossessed quite so easily. But wise men. The Apostle Paul had a walk through the place of the wise men, the philosophers in Athens. And he writes about it. Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Is this wisdom? The answer, yes. Again, Paul, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God, through wisdom it pleased God, through the folly of what we preach, to save those who believe. And as Paul challenges the words wisdom, we ask again, is this wisdom? And the answer, yes. And Paul again, yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Oh, really? That last part? The wisdom of God, what God decreed before the ages for our glory? So the wise men come, led by the star, to see the wisdom of the ages. And they don't end up in some great house of learning. And they don't end up at the palace. And it's not a dwelling where riches and great success are all around. They're confronted with the different wisdom. The different wisdom. The wisdom of God in Christ. The wisdom of God, who again does not decree from a distance, but steps down and comes to us, comes into our world to be one with us, walks among us, so that he may know us by sharing our nature, our flesh, our aches, our pains, our separation from heaven, our condemnation, our hunger and thirst, our bleeding and dying, our tomb. So those who seek to scale the heights of wisdom and learning find out that the one wisdom connected to God is the one that steps down from the heights in order to be born in a stable, laid in a manger, and take the form of human weakness. And as the shepherds, well, they find the gentle power of God in the tiny hands of a newborn baby. I'll ponder that for a moment. the boundless power, restrained and embodied in a tiny infant. So now the wise men will find the eternal wisdom exceeding all other wisdom. They will find it in the face and the eyes, the countenance, that's a word from the benediction, the panim, that's the Hebrew word for the face of God. And they find this in this little child. Now they'll go back home, warmed by God in a dream, but they will go back home having found a completely unexpected wisdom of God. And the work of salvation will continue with the flight into Egypt, the return, the ministry of Christ, keeping company with the weak and the sinful, calling them to be the children of God, and then up to Jerusalem, there to bring the wisdom of God to the darkness of the cross. The wisdom of God to the foolishness of being condemned. The wisdom of God to the weakness of dying. But as God brings his wisdom into our darkness, our condemnation, our dying, he brings the light of salvation, he brings forgiveness and reconciliation, and he brings the victory of the empty tomb. This is the wisdom of God. For God takes his wisdom and then he says, it's all too familiar what he says, isn't it? Where he takes his wisdom and he says, for you. In Jesus' name, amen.